This is Nick from the River Jumpers, and you're listening to Black Heart Radio Retribution.
This is Andy Cares of Therapy, and you're listening to Black Heart Radio.
Welcome to Black Heart Radio Retribution, UK edition. I'm Stephen Blackheart, bringing you a bonus show for the month of November, where I interview two UK artists. First up, we're going to interview Andy Carnes, the lead vocalist, guitarist of Therapy, to talk with him about their great album, A Brief Crack of Light, amongst other things. The interview is a little rough. I had to call him while he was on tour, and we used his tour manager's cell phone, and cell phones never sound that great. On the other hand, the interview with the other UK artist, Nicholas Davis, of the band River Jumpers, that one sounds amazingly. It sounds like he's in the same room as me. Actually, his microphone sounds even better than mine. So we'll get to that after the Andy Carnes Therapy, which will start right after this song. This is Therapy from their album, A Brief Crack of Light. This is the song, Living in the Shadow of the Terrible Thing. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm fine. Looking to talk to you again. You're all right?
Yes. Sorry, I'm a little late on the promotion of the new album, A Brief Crack of Light.
Oh, but that's all right. I mean, that's all right. There's plenty of time to think in today's age. There's no rush. We've been around for 22 years, and we're not going anywhere, so we can take our time.
You know what I really love about this album is, well, this album and all your other albums, it sounds like a real organic
jam session just come to life. Like, you guys just get together in a room and you feel things out and you're like, hey, that sounds good. Let's use it. Is that true?
That's really spot on. That's exactly what we do. I think we're very comfortable with each other as musicians. And whenever we go in to record now, we just go in and we do things. And we kick about ideas. And it's, you know, we rehearse in a very small space like we used to when the band started. The last three albums, we rehearsed in a small, tiny space like we used to when the band began. And the label that we're with, they own a recording studio, which is pretty good setup. And when we have all the songs and the ideas we like, we just take our time doing it. And, you know, we do it within 2 or 3 weeks, but it's not like sort of 80s and 90s albums anymore where we spend hours and weeks and days doing it. It's pretty much once we get in the moment and we're happy with it, we capture it.
When do the lyrics come in? Last or while you're doing it?
Well, with this album, the lyrics came second after the music. Normally, it can work either way. Normally, I either go in with a big, massive bunch of lyrics that are finished and we start writing music. Or occasionally with some albums, we go in and we've all the music written. As you said earlier, like jam sessions, we've all the music's down, and then I just sit and write the lyrics. And this time around, with two separate sessions in the studio, the first session was getting the music down. And I had an idea of how the melody would go, but I didn't have any lyrics. And then I took myself off, and I just wrote a bunch of lyrics, and then we did all the lyrics and the vocals at a second session.
I remember last time I talked to you, you had some really... some really interesting inspiration for a lot of the songs last time. A lot of authors and books, just things that you've read. And I know that I think this time I read somewhere that the name of the album is inspired by Nabokov.
Yeah, Vladimir. And the consciousness. Yeah, that's right. Nabokov was the inspiration for the title. It's really just about the small time that we're on this planet. We've got to cram everything that we can into this brief crack of light before we kind of return to the darkness that we came from. And it was a way of looking at optimism. And at the minute, we're looking around the world and looking at the way people act, and it's easy to fall into despair. And I think because we're from Northern Ireland, we grew up in an awful lot of political unrest, and there was 3,000 people murdered in the conflict in our country over religion. It's just bullshit, you know. And we've seen all that happen, and now there's peace in our country. I think we're a lot more kind of critical of any kind of inhumanity of other people in the world. And I think that really is it. But we're kind of just trying to get on. We would just like everyone to get on with their lives and make the most of it.
Yeah, well, I find that, you know, positivity is something you need to look for, because all the negative and terrible things will come to you naturally. You don't have to look for that. And I see so many people that walk around grumbling all the time. But if they would try to do something, you know, to balance the scales a little bit, I don't think they'd be as miserable.
Well, that's right. I mean, I also got thinking about my punk rock roots. I mean, punk rock saved me when I grew up in Northern Ireland. I mean, there was army on the streets. There was fighting. There were people being murdered every single day. And the likes of Stiff Little Fingers, Rudy, the Outcasts, you know, and all the punk bands that I was too old to be around first time around, but whenever I discovered them, the Damned, bands like that got me through it. And then later on, whenever I got older and I discovered bands like Minor Threat and Fugazi, you know, it was the positive sides of those bands that got me out of bed in the morning. And that's what when we did this album, I think, like looking at tracks like Living in the Shadow of Terrible Things, we were looking back to all the kind of positive punk that we were sort of into as kids, and the positive that we could take out of music and try and keep our tunes up.
So let's talk about some of the themes on this album.
Yeah.
Like Living in the Shadow of a Terrible Thing. That was a really that's a really great video, actually. Where did you film that at?
We were reading an Irish writer called Flann O'Brien, and he is a bit like we are. He's got a very humorous look at unfortunate and misfortune in life, and he deals everything, he takes it in a stride. He said, well, shit's going to happen, but you pick yourself up and you deal with it. And there was a phrase in the book about a village in Ireland that they lived their lives as if they were always living in the shadow of something terrible going to happen. And it was because they were oppressed and they were down. And we kind of, the only full stop at everyone's life is death. And basically, the minute you're born, you start to die, and you're living in the shadow of this terrible thing, which is death. And it's what shapes people's lives. It shapes human people's lives. And we kind of, a lot of it is, if you read Dante's Inferno, the Italian writer, it's halfway through his life and he comes across a crisis. And he doesn't know where he's going to go. And he gets a guide to sort of guide him through all the tribulations of the world. And it was almost like we were just kind of saying, you know, with heavy tread and treacle feet, you know, it's like the way you come really heavy days when the world seems to be on your shoulders really, really hard, but you just keep going on. There's something in your own humanity that keeps you going. And the video that we have for that is a bunch of young guys, like really young rock fans called Sitcom Soldiers, and they listen to the lyrics and they come up with the idea. And it was really cheap, you know, really like, we did it in like, I think about 4 hours in Manchester, England, and it just really sort of in the track itself.
So that was that like a a real like area like where that it seemed like a factory place.
Yeah, it's a real area. Yeah, it's a real area. I mean, it's a really poor part of a place called Manchester in England. Real working class area, and it was it's really run down because a lot of the industrial area is all gone, and there's a great deal of poverty in the area. But these guys from Sitcom Soldiers, like you know the video people that we know, they live around there, and you know, that's among their people. And I just said to some people, look, it backs on the houses. They just went around everyone and said, look, there's a rock band going to be filming a video here. It's going to be really, really loud. Does anyone mind? And they were all really, really chuffed that there was going to be like a band wanted to do something with this area that had fallen into such disrepair. So we said, yeah, care away, use it.
So anybody in New York, it would be like them filming in Buffalo, New York. there's a lot of area like that in Buffalo, New York. You drive through Buffalo and it's like all these old industrial buildings. It's like there's someone's dream gone. But
yeah, I've been in Buffalo, New York years ago. We played there with Helmet years ago in Buffalo. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You remember it?
I do remember. I remember because a lot of Paige's friends and stuff came to the show from Helmet. I mean, we did a whole day in Buffalo. I do remember it. It's exactly as you say.
So I don't have... I've only got a half hour to talk to you, so I'm going to jump around a little bit on some of the themes here on the album, some of the ones that stick out a little bit in my mind. One thing I want to talk to you about is that effect that you use on Ecclesiastics. It's the same...
Yes.
It's like the same. You also use it on "Before You, With You, After You." I can hear it in the chorus. What is that exactly?
Yeah. Well, it's a New York company called Electroharmonix, and they make a voice box. And you know, one of the things that we kind of listen to, we don't just listen to sort of punk music. We listen to sort of really sort of strange electronic music as well. And there's an album by Kraftwerk, a German electro band called Radioactivity. And it's a 70s album, but it's got stunning, stunning songs on it, and it uses a vocoder. And I was in this music store one day, and I had this voice box, and I really, really wanted to bring it in and, you know, set it. And basically, you play the guitar and sing at the same time. It gives this strange effect. And like the other two guys in the band were going, oh, God, here he goes, you know what I mean? But we really liked it, and we just found it quite unusual. And it's it makes the voice quite disembodied and quite ghostly. and watching those two tracks, you know, initially Ecclesiastes was very much like it was just an acoustic guitar and a voice. It was almost like a Johnny Cash number or even a Will Oldham number, but it just sounded, it almost sounded like a ballad. So we decided we would try this voice box on it, and with Before You, With You, After You, we think it sort of brought out some of the sort of the emotion in the voice by using it.
You should, that song, Before You, With You, After You, that is like such a catchy song. I'm surprised you guys haven't released that as a single.
Well, it was the record company we were with. It was either Between Living in the Shadow, A Terrible Thing, or Before You, With You, After You. And I think we just really liked the groove on Living in the Shadow, A Terrible Thing, so we went with that.
Yeah, that's a great song,
Before
too.
Before You, With You, After You. Yeah, I mean, but Before You, With You, After You, we've been playing it on this tour. It's been going down a storm every night.
Well, the other thing is, like, Living in the Shadow of a Terrible Thing, that's kind of like the introduction to the album, because it's really, it coincides with the name of the album and everything.
Yeah. No, we just really, really, I mean, that was the first song we wrote for the album, and I mean, we played that live a few times before we recorded it as well, and it always went down well.
So people already kind of knew it, because you've been playing it live.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people are used to it. I think you can't really go wrong with that mid-tempo for guys in jug. That's one of the best things in the world, man.
Okay, so wait, now, there's only two songs that you used that effect on from Ecclesiastes?
Yeah, that's the only songs we used the recorder on, yeah.
Okay, now let's get into some of the artsier ones. The Buzzing. It's really chaotic, and it's really awesome too, because I love how you're really, you know, it's like you sound like you have a swarm of bees, you know, on your fretboard going up and down the neck. And then you get to that part in the middle,
nothing to express, nothing to express it with, still it's inexplicable, need to express.
It's a line that is inspired by the writer Samuel Beckett, the Irish writer. It's about how people, there's nothing to express, because it's a bit like being, whenever you're lost for words, I think there's nothing to express. I haven't got the voice to express it with, but still something inside me tells me that I need to shout and scream. And the buzzing is a byword for consciousness. It's like whenever you think too much about anything, and your thoughts are like a swarm of bees. You cannot switch your head off. You cannot switch consciousness off. And we refer to consciousness in the song The Phantom Chatterbox. It's, some days you just want to wake up, you just want to open your eyes, and you just want to drift. You don't want constant thoughts in your head. And that's the buzzing about that. It's about those days when you can't switch off your thoughts. And it started, I mean, the riff itself was originally, like, I was listening to a lot of Slip It In by Black Flag, the album, and in my head. And we had, like, a Greg Ginn kind of swingy pop rock riff. And I sent an MP3 of it to Michael, which is a click track. And Michael, like, listens to a lot of black metal. So he put, like, a drum machine on it with a different time signature than I'd heard in my head. So by the time we got it together, it was a song in three parts. It was like the Black Flag riff that goes into like a decroixing kind of bit before. Then it goes into kind of almost like a dub reggae breakdown. There's bits of free jazz in it. It's probably my favorite song on the album, actually. And we play it live every single night, and it goes down a storm.
Oh, that's awesome.
But, you know, the buzzing is... Yeah, the buzzing is like, I mean, it's about consciousness. It's about not being able to switch off your thoughts.
Well, I wonder if that... I mean, that's something that's more... I think that really rings true for creative people. You know, because you ever feel like I'm sure that you don't just write music. There's probably other ways that you do creative things, right?
Yeah, I mean, you do creative things all the time. Whenever I'm at home, I play piano at home and stuff like that. You know, I like sort of playing little piano bits and things. I mean, I used to really love art. I studied art at school. I have a great interest in painting and in art and the history of art. I haven't drawn or painted for many years. But I think all of us, we're very, very open-minded people. I think that's why we still do what we do. We're very receptive. You know, when we hear any music or we go to a town and there's an exhibition on, or you know, someone brings a really good movie on along, we're all very, very open-minded and receptive. No, I was going to say, we've always discussed, I think, like, each of us has a book in us at some point. I think all three of us in the band have a novel in us, or it's just a biographical story of what we've been up to as people. It would have to be marketed as fiction if we ever printed it.
Is that something that you do just as, something you started doing just because you were able to do it and you figured if something ever happened to it, that's fine, but it's a good exercise in writing? Or was it intentional?
No, I've done something. Oh, no, I think what we do is it's always very natural. Whatever happens to us, it's we kind of follow our instincts as a band very much, and sometimes that can work against us, but it's the way that we find what's best for us.
Right, I was just talking about if, like, writing biographical stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think I would wait. I mean, we've seen an awful lot of things in our life. You know, we've been on so many labels. We've toured with so many bands. As a band biography, I'd probably have to be completely honest. And it would have to be, as they say, over here, it's an all. But I've got a young son that's like, he's 13. I don't think I'd ever print a book now while he's still at school. It wouldn't be fair on him because it would have to be completely honest. But it would at some point. But I mean, I think it also, you know, growing up in Northern Ireland, regardless of music, you know, anyone that grows up in Northern Ireland and lives in this kind of, especially in the period that we grew up in, I mean, it's such a small country. The population of Northern Ireland is just about 1 million people. That's for the whole country. And there was 3,000 people killed in troubles in a very intense period of time over, as I said, religion and sort of jumped up politics. And I think if we ever wrote a book about our experiences there, that would probably be something which people wouldn't believe, they wouldn't understand. The very first single that we ever released, in the abstract, the opening line in that song that was the start of our journey in music was "No One Knows the Trouble I've Seen." And that's exactly what it's like. You know, we were a band from Northern Ireland, and some of the things that we tell people that we meet that have happened in Northern Ireland, it's, you know, it blows your mind. It's unbelievable. And I think if we ever wrote a book, a biographical book about our upbringing, that would be sort of something that we could touch on.
Well, I've got an idea. Don't hold any. We'll go the Mark Twain route. You don't hold anything back, and then we'll release it 100 years after you die. No one will be offended.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's an interesting story about Mark Twain. I can't remember it. What was his real name?
Samuel. Samuel Clemens.
Yeah, because he lived in Northern Ireland for a little while. He's Mark Twain. He's either originally from Ulster in Northern Ireland, or he spent a little bit of time in a Presbytery church there. There is history between Northern Ireland and Mark Twain. Now I'll have to check it up on the internet, but there is some connection there.
Have you read his biography? His autobiography?
No, I haven't.
It's really great because he is very he's very cynical, and he doesn't hold anything back, and he names everyone like in his life. He's like, yeah. That's why the book had to wait 100 years to be released, because he didn't want to offend anyone or anyone's families, because he wanted to tell exactly how every person was. Especially
I'll check that out.
Yeah, especially his publishers that kind of sold things behind his back without his permission.
Yeah, I read an amazing short story by Mark Twain, and I can't remember the title of it for the life of me. I read it last year. It was about a small town that turns in on itself for money.
The man who corrupted Hadleyburg.
That's the very one, Hadleyburg. That's it. That was amazing. Yeah, it was recommended to me by a friend. What a fantastic book.
Yeah, it really is great. Could you imagine it? I mean, because you know what's great about that book, since we're talking about it, it's like you think back to that time. You got to really put yourself in like the era when that took place, like the 1800s. There's no television or anything like that. So their entertainment is to go to that town hall and make up these stories and just get everyone going crazy like that.
Yeah. Oh, it was incredible. You really got into people's heads about, they were fighting with their own morality about what they should do. It's incredible book.
Yeah, indeed. I love all this stuff. Yeah. So,
could you recommend something for me? Because I don't really know that much. I haven't read Mark Twain since I was in school. the Hadleyburg book I read last year. What would you recommend I get next?
Well, I mean, depends on what you're into. I mean, because he's got there's one I was having trouble getting through, was the Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court. If you're really really into the whole King Arthur Knights of the Round Table period, he was super into that. I kind of lost me a little bit.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you,
read
The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. It's classic, and it's vanilla as it sounds. The book is just so well written.
Yeah.
And it sounds like... Yeah. You have to get around the N-word in the book, but you got to also realize that when the book was written, he actually is kind of... He kind of puts...
It's a bit like Faulkner.
Yeah,
it's a bit like Faulkner. When you read Faulkner, that the N-word's all over Faulkner, but that was the period it was written in. And Flannery O'Connor's the same.
Well, I hear a lot of people kind of railing out against it. Like, that word shouldn't be in there, but... It's because of the time it was written, and actually, the slave that rides around with him on the raft with him, he actually has he presents all these points why he should be treated like a regular human being throughout the book. So it's not like he's put out this racist anti-black piece. You know, it's funny how things get misconstrued nowadays.
Yeah.
Sorry to make this conversation about Mark Twain.
I'm really, really glad we're having it, because I'm going to go and... I did a little bit of Mark Twain when I was at primary school. I think I'll just have to go reintroduce myself to it.
I think what you got to do is just read the autobiography and then go from there. Because when you read the autobiography, he tells you everything, all of the stuff that he wrote was autobiographical, but he changed it. He turned it fictional.
Yeah.
So all of those characters, all the characters and all his stories were based on people he knew. That's how he'd get characters. He'd say, well, that guy's kind of weird. Let's turn him into this guy in this book. So I got 5 minutes left with you, I think. Let's talk about that song, Get Your Dead Hand Off My Shoulder. Is this just kind of a reflection of, getting older? You're saying, hey... I don't know. You tell me.
The song itself is about history. It's about getting the weight of history off your shoulders. Again, it's a bit like Northern Ireland. It's whenever you come from Ireland, you get so much negative history. And when we go back to being positive, as we said earlier about this album, it's about being lost in the city centre of Belfast in Northern Ireland at about 3 a.m. No one's around, but there's a presence. And it's the presence of negative history, and it was just me kind of trying to shake it, just get rid of the chains of history, really.
murmuring sinister resonance. The shocking and the shaping are there, trapped in a shivering carcass, part of a throbbing crowd. Every space is constantly trembling. Stay awake, let's go out. Time speeds up, I get older. Get your dead hand off my shoulder.
Another thing that I thought was interesting, I can't remember if it's Ghost Trio or Why Turbulence. There's one song that's just, you're just playing this riff over and over again.
Yes.
And the band,
Ghost Trio. Yeah.
Ghost Trio, and the band's changing around you. I thought that's kind of a cool audio songwriting experiment.
It was written about the Arab Spring, which happened earlier this year and last year, whenever a lot of the countries rebelled against the oppressive regime. We had one record, it's one note, one rhythm, and we wanted to imagine someone was standing in the eye of the storm. So sonically, if you try and do that, if I keep my voice quite low and quite flat, and keep the guitar doing one thing, but the band changes around me constantly throughout the song, then it's almost as if you're standing on a tectonic plate, which is shifting. And that's what we wanted to try and achieve. You know, so when you listen to the record really loud, there's just one voice. It's almost like the way you would finish it if you were a citizen of one of these countries. You're a small, tiny part of this country. It's shifting and changing around you.
It sounds like it's really fun to be in a band therapy.
Yeah.
Like, you guys just don't care. I mean, you guys only care about writing the songs however you feel them. You know, putting your artistic spin on it. I mean, that seems so freeing.
Yeah, but we love music. I mean, I read we've got open ears. We constantly listen to new music. I mean, young bands and new bands. We read new literature. We watch new filmmakers. You know, when we go to gigs, we talk to people. You know, we talk to new fans and people that we've met. And, you know, it's what we do. We love doing this. You know, after all, we never became musicians so that we could end up being friends with Elton John and Madonna. You know, we became musicians because as kids in Northern Ireland, music saved our lives. And I don't think there's no way that we want to stop doing this thing that we do. It's so important to us. It keeps us going.
Well, I know it's important to your fans, too.
Without our fans, we'd be nothing. I mean, that's the truth of it. I mean, a lot of them have been with us from the start. We'd be getting new fans. People get in and out of the bands. But to be honest, without our fans, we wouldn't be here. And we're very, very grateful to that.
I think that's true for everyone. Really, unless you're being pushed by some gigantic money conglomerate.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's the thing, you know. It's like when everyone's a kid, they're like, "I'm gonna grow up and be a giant rock star." But now that now here we are in 2012, yeah. and you can't really be a rock star and be, you know, the icon on the screen. You have to play this watered down pop music that someone else writes for you.
Yeah, I think contentment comes from within. I think we're content doing the music that we do, and I think I've got some people that I know that are kind of bona fide rock stars that I've met over the years, and there's like a sort of center of loneliness within them that can never really be sated, and it breaks my heart to see it. Some people, you know, there's some kids that I grew up with that you know, no matter what they get or no matter what they have, it's never enough, and that's something which really needs to be cured at a base level. And I've seen that happening with friends of mine as well that are just, you know, aren't involved in music. There's a culture of entitlement at the minute in the world, especially in the West, where people seem to think that there's some kind of cure for unhappiness that exists out there with money, that exists out there with possessions, that exists out there with status. And status anxiety, it really messes a lot of people up. And at the end of the day, you know, where you are in yourself is going to be the center of how you see the world around you and how that world reflects upon you. And we're firm believers in that. And I think, you know, get your own shop sort of out, your own house in order, and the world will be a lot bigger and a lot brighter place.
I personally had to get off of Facebook because I needed to kind of reevaluate what life was to me. You know, it's not always going on there and telling the world every single thing that happened to me in my day, which is fine for some people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not really trying to put down anyone that goes on Facebook or anything or sends out tweets.
Yeah.
It's just like, you see, because you see some of your favorite bands or your favorite actors, your favorite whatever, you know, they've all got something to advertise. And then you start thinking to yourself, well, what do I have to advertise? And then that really creates this conundrum in your mind. Like, and then you just got to step away from it and go, that's all just on the internet. What's in front of me?
I know, and I think that people need to spend a bit of quiet time as well. I think, you know, there's a lot to be learned if you look at some Eastern philosophies, especially Buddhist philosophies. Whenever people get some time to themselves and some time to think and some time to meditate, and I think, you know, people need to learn to switch off. People need to learn to step back from things and have an objective look at themselves. And you know, at the minute everything's so full on, and you know, don't get me wrong, I realise the benefits. Facebook and things like that as well myself, but I don't really use it. But I think I've got a 13-year-old son and he's completely immersed in that culture. All his friends are, you know, they're coming up doing that. And I think there's something to be learned from just taking yourself to a quiet place and just and having a bit of time to yourself.
I think you hit on something there, because the Buddhist philosophy is that, you know, all of that stuff is just ego. And the ego is created, the ego might not necessarily be created by you. It's more created by the people and the things around you. So if you want to really connect to yourself, you need you need to find that inner spirit that's inside of you that has no ego attached to it, which is actually really hard to find in today's world when you have all of this stuff going on around you, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's incredibly hard to find that. And I mean, even to quote the film Fight Club, I mean, the Adventures Fight Club, there's a great line in that where Edward Norton says that the things that you own end up owning you. And that's so true. You know, I know people that are in a great deal of debt and people that are in a great deal of trouble because stuff and things they use to define them. And as you've just said there, they get shaped by the world around them rather than carving your own place in it.
It's like, it's almost as if we need a guidebook for how to live our lives, you know? And when you start to invest in the things that people have put out there for, sometimes it seems like, all of this American dream and buy this, buy that, it seems to have a sinister tone to it when you really look at where all that money's going. You mean, not to get conspiratorial or anything, but it's like, and then all of a sudden the reality hits you and it's like, oh man, I got all this money to pay. What did I do? But that's human. I think that's just human nature, you know? That's the other thing I think.
There's something. Yeah, I think we're the only creatures. I mean, we're the only creatures aware of our own mortality on this planet. We're the only living creatures that know we're going to die. And it drives us crazy. You know, people don't take the pace of life and what it is. And I think, you know, going back to the Buddhist thing, people just live in the moment. Not enough people these days live in the moment. You know, they look months, weeks ahead, looking forward to something which might change their lives. And they're constantly grasping, they've constantly got these outstretched hands grasping for something and getting thin air. Whereas if you just sit and contemplate and live in the moment. And I went for some acupuncture recently, and the guy that gave me the acupuncture was a fellow of Eastern philosophy, and he said, you know, whatever you eat first, he said, when was the last time you ate something like an apple or a piece of chocolate? And you actually sat and enjoyed the taste of it as it was being in your mouth. You know, so most people these days grab a marshmallow or a chocolate bar or a banana and wolf it down without even realizing they're eating it. And he said, life should be the same. And I thought it was a good piece of advice. You should grasp what you have and kind of enjoy it while it's there.
You know, it's because I was thinking about that. It's funny because it's like, oh, man, I feel really self-conscious. And it's like it takes on like a negative like connotation because that's your ego judging your own ego, like I feel self conscious.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like that should just tell you right there something's not right. All right, Andy, you know it's been really great talking to you, and I don't know if your tour manager's getting charged more for a longer conversation on a cell phone. That's the only thing I'm concerned with here, so.
All right, no, that's all right, mate. I'm going to go and do a sound check in OAC. We've got a show tonight in Italy, which we're looking forward to. But it was really lovely speaking to you.
Yes, I'm glad you remembered me. That's really cool.
Yeah, no, I like the show as well. So, I mean, hopefully some point, I mean, there is plans hopefully next year to get over to North America and to Canada. We'll fingers crossed for that. But, you know, keep in touch, my friend.
All right, I certainly will. Talk to you later, Andy.
All right, you take care of yourself, Steve.
You too.
See you soon, man. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
All right, there you have it. A great guy from a great band, Andy Carnes of Therapy. So before I get on to the next interview in this special edition, UK edition, bonus episode of Black Heart Radio Retribution, let's play one last song in its entirety from Therapy, from their latest album, A Brief Crack of Light. This one's called Before You, With You, After You. Find out more about Therapy at their website, therapy?co.uk.
Existence, it's just a question of time. Failure, half deaf, half blind. Onward, over ruined terrain. Forward. Before you, with you, after you.
River Jumpers, a four-piece melodic punk rock band based in Brighton, UK, that writes bangers about life, love, politics, and getting by. We're going to do an interview with the singer of that band, Nicholas Davies, right after you hear this song from them, that you can get free at riverjumpers.bandcamp.com. This is the River Jumpers with Substance and Integrity from their album, Chapters.
To run away with every ounce of obligation, never to be held accountable for what you've told me. Our integrity in pieces, and what's worse is a slow repetition. And as we fall, we'll find a new solution. And welcome for total retribution for our soul. And that's the trust rewritten, yet we won't keep ending up like this.
Nicholas from River Jumpers.
Nick from River Jumpers. It's Stephen Blackheart from Blackheart Radio Retribution.
Hello.
Was it just be you tonight?
It was. I think it was going to be Leon as well, but it's actually because it's 9:30 here at the moment.
I've got the time zones wrong.
Oh no, it's okay. We have, you know, I think we turned the clocks back a few weeks ago, so it's all still very confusing.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I can talk with you for a while. I can interview him on a different day if he wants, too.
I'll have a word with him, but I think this will probably be okay, man.
I don't know if you listened to that last episode, that Fear episode. Took me like 6 hours to put together.
Oh, wow. Dedication.
Yeah. It's just it's a fun hobby I like to do.
Yeah, of course. It's brilliant, yeah.
It's weird. I'm driven by this strange desire to broadcast things.
Well, I think you need that, though, you know. People need to hear things, so the only way they will is if people broadcast them. Looks cool, like, so, I mean, how do you want to... Do you have sort of a list of questions and stuff, or...?
Nope. Just want to talk. Talk cool. About anything.
Oh, okay. So this is the first interview that River Jumpers have ever done.
Oh.
Or sort of, you know, discussion for any kind of online, you know, voice radio thing, so...
Podcast.
It's kind of an exclusive.
River Jumpers exclusive. I like
River
that.
Jumpers exclusive. Yeah.
Now, this is your first full album?
Yeah, this is the first full album we've done. Yeah, we've been a band a year, and we did an EP at the start, and yeah, we just released this album, well, for free, pretty much.
What do you mean?
Well, you can get it online. You can download it for free.
Okay.
And then we have some copies, you know, some physical CDs, which we obviously distribute and sell at shows and things, but, you know, only really just to cover costs and make a minimal profit. So.
Right. Well, I think that's a great idea, because there's a band called the Snips. I'm not sure what their website... I could say thesnips.com, but I'm really not, like, 100% positive. Let me see if I can type it in. I admire how they have their website set up. Thesnips.com, that's right. I guess you just do the same thing. Go to this website and look at it. I don't know. Do you have a website?
We only really have at the moment. We only have a Bandcamp and the old Facebook thing. We are working on getting a website just as a hub for all the ridiculous amounts of places where your band can exist these days. So we're just we're hopefully going to have that up and running soon.
Cool. The first thing you see on this band's website is buy physical, buy digital, pay what you can, or steal it. Like, those are the four options.
Ah, cool. Yeah, we have a pay what you want on the Bandcamp, which, you know, we've had some donations in, and that always helps. It just helps the band, but we don't, you know, we're not, at the moment, it's just about getting the music out to as many people as possible. And I guess the best way to do that is going to be to hand it out for free.
Right. Well, that's funny.
Yeah, I'm on the Snips website now, actually.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it. I like that. I like the steal it option.
There you go. I think everyone should, actually, because I was reading something somewhere. I didn't get to read the whole thing because sometimes I'll check my email at work, like on a 15-minute break, and I just caught like the essence of an email that mentioned the fact that the band is sort of controversial in that regard, that they kind of want to do it all themselves in that way. I don't know how. I guess I shouldn't have said that, but. It's just something I read.
So, yeah.
You know, I replied back, said I'd like to talk to those guys, but, you know, it's a holiday season. What can I ask for? You guys don't celebrate Thanksgiving over there.
You guys have Thanksgiving this weekend, isn't it?
It's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Okay, well, happy Thanksgiving. Yeah.
No turkey for me.
No turkey, no.
Because you are what you eat, you know?
Yeah, definitely. We would, you know, if we had Thanksgiving tomorrow, I'd definitely be tucking into some kind of vegetarian alternative.
Oh, you're vegetarian, huh?
I am, yeah.
That's cool. Is that like a social conscious kind of thing, or is it just because you don't like?
I don't know, man. If I'm honest, both my parents are vegetarian, and I moved to a place called Liverpool in the north of England, and some guys I became close friends with, they're already vegetarian. I kind of saw the reasoning for it. I mean, I don't think it's something that you can press onto people, you know, because they're your own sort of views, aren't they? But, you know, it's not so sort of with a social conscience, yeah, but sort of mainly just because I tried it and just didn't look back, you know.
Right.
It's not a massive statement or anything.
I was talking to Enter Shikari, that's it.
Okay, cool.
I was talking to one of the members of that band, because he's a vegetarian, and he just, for some reason, thinks that PETA gives vegetarians a bad name.
Okay, yeah, the animal rights organization. I mean, I don't know how much you know, but I mean, I definitely read that I have two views on this, really, because I think that, on the one hand, the stuff that I read about the lengths that they went to, like tormenting families of workers that were working on a construction site of a animal testing center and stuff. I think that's like harassment. And, you know, there's probably construction workers working on there who are just, you know, working because it's a job and jobs are hard to find. But on the other side, I think all the publications that PETA do are quite straightforward and easy to read. And they're quite, you know, not too graphic. And they have a lot of information about sort of how the food that we ultimately eat does get treated sometime before we eat it. So I think that, like, you know, that's good to read if you're in the market for reading that. But so that's my view on PETA.
Okay, to be fair to Enter Shikari,
we are going to experience a Black Art Radio flashback where I talk to Rao and Rory of Enter Shikari.
And Enter Shikari, who I'm standing here with, and I want to talk about your song, Thumper. That's the next song I want to play.
Cool. Yeah, it's the latest song we've written, so it's kind of the most...
Almost like you're bullhorning in the song.
Bullhorning.
Yeah, you know, where you go out and you stand and you protest and you grab the bullhorn and you just start yelling the things that you're feeling. You know what I'm saying? That's what that song reminds me of when I hear you singing.
Boxing, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of frustration and it's a good way to vent it, so we do it.
Not as outspoken in person as he is on the actual album.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We don't want to, like, ram any sort of thing down anyone's throats because that can sometimes even put someone off, you know, a certain belief or value. So, I mean, obviously, if people listen to lyrics and they agree and want to find out more, then that's awesome.
That's very smart.
Yeah, but, I mean, essentially, we just try and make a music, like... We focus mainly on our music and then if people want to read into it more and they can, but if they don't, like Ram was saying, because sometimes if you just shove your opinions down someone's throat or try to, then Peter is a perfect example of that. I think it does quite a detrimental effect to vegetarianism. It's just,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Memories. Let's get back to the interview that we already started with Nick of the River Jumpers. You've never eaten any meat?
No. Okay. I met meat all the way till I was about 17, yeah.
Right. Well,
so I'm about 10 years meat-free at the moment.
Okay. Well, I hope you don't mind me talking about this with you.
No way, man. Totally fine.
And thanks for using, Skype. This is... it sounds like you're in the room with me here, because...
Oh, cool.
You'll notice on this same episode where I'm going to I'll air the therapy interview too. I called him on a cell phone, and it's really hard to kind of understand what he's saying. And that goes for almost, anywhere. I could call somebody the next block over on their cell phone. When I record it on my computer, it sounds horrible.
No, it's working right. I don't really use Skype. Right. I've had it for a long time, and I've forgot my password and things. I had to relook that stuff up to involve myself in this. But yeah, it sounds clear as day. It's like a normal phone call.
So your parent? Yeah, actually, I use this as a phone service because I don't have that many minutes on my cheap cell phone plan.
Oh no!
So I always use this.
It's free, isn't it?
Yeah, I use this as a phone. Well, actually, I pay $3 to actually call phones for the people that won't get Skype. But man, if they would all just get Skype,
it'd be free.
What a dream come true that would be.
You could start a revolution.
I could start a Skype revolution.
maybe get
sponsorship from Skype too.
Hey, maybe. Maybe you could do a radio show full time, sponsored by Skype.
So your parents are vegetarians. What did they do? What do they do
what do they do?
Yeah, for a living.
All right. Well, they're separated. My mum, she runs a nursery, so I don't know, a kindergarten, what you guys would call it, for tiny children before they go to school. And my dad was a youth and community worker for many years, helping kids. And now he runs a PA hire company and does installations of lights and sound systems in nightclubs and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Does he have a musical background too?
No, not really. He doesn't have a musical bone in his body, if I'm honest. But he loves music, and he's always been ever so supportive of me and my brother and all our musical ventures. So that's really cool.
Let's see your
brother. We bought him my first guitar. So
your brother's musical too. Is he in the same band as you?
No, man. He's my twin. He's in another band from Brighton called Fighting Fiction. And yeah, they're really good. They're on a.
I love how you said that. No. He's my twin. You don't want us in the same band.
I couldn't possibly be in a band with him. We shared a womb. But no, he's in a band called Fright and Fiction. Yeah, they're also from Brighton. They're good. They're doing some good stuff. They're actually on the same UK record label as... Do you know this guy, Frank Turner? Is he big in Canada?
I just... Yes, as a matter of fact, I have interviewed... I'm not in Canada, as a matter of... just so
oh.
You know. I'm in New York State.
Oh, okay.
Upstate New York, too, so don't picture...
So you know everything anyway.
Don't picture, like, the sprawling metropolis, but I am from New York State. And when I was on Punk Radio Cast, I did interview Frank Turner.
Yeah. Well, they're on the same label as him at the moment, the UK label anyway, and they sound pretty good. You should check them out. Fighting Fiction, they're called.
I would like to check out. I would actually like to get in touch with as many independent bands as possible, you know, because I've got to start this thing all over again.
I'll send you a long, long list.
That's great. And
people we love.
Well, if you send a list and you happen to have like a way to contact them, that'd be great too.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that, man, for sure. I'll do it at some point before the end of next week. Because the other thing is that we're all, the people in River Jumpers are all have backgrounds of other independent bands of you know, past years. So it's kind of like between us, we could definitely muster a really long list of bands that are still active and working ever so hard. So, yeah, it'd be really good for those guys to get some exposure as well. So
yeah, definitely.
Sounds good.
Well, I mean, I don't play everything that I hear, but if they're as good as you guys, because I mean, I definitely like the music that I've heard from you guys ever since the first
Thank you.
EP. The only thing was with the first EP, you sent me all those WAVE files, and when I listen to music, I put it on my MP3 player.
Ah.
So it was like, I never took the time to, I'll be honest with you, I never took the time to mix them down to MP3, and I didn't know where I put them. So I just took I took the one song, I listened to them like briefly, like little snippets on my computer, and I was like, oh, this is good. And then I was like, I like this one. I took that one, mixed it down, and put it on my other podcast, The Love Notes
Cool.
Lisa Show.
Which song did you choose?
From the last EP, I can't remember, but it was on my other podcast.
Hey, I'll send you the MP3s with this email with the list.
Sounds good to me.
No worries, man. So I'm really glad that you like our album. That's cool. Thank you ever so much for having me on.
Yeah. Let's take a break from the interview just to play a song from the River Jumpers album Chapters. I never got the opportunity to actually tell Nick what songs were my favorite. This is one of my favorite songs from the album. This is a song called Five Doors Down. Yeah!
all of my favorite songs.
Life's a long journey of learning, isn't it?
Yep, and these are the things that shape us, you know?
Of course they are, yeah, of course they are.
It makes me want
to... things that influence everything, like, you know, everything around us, everything we do, especially music and stuff, so good things can come from it.
Imagine this. You know, I was saying this to my girlfriend the other day, because I'm really in love with her, and all of the things that... It seems like all the things that happened in my life kind of led me to her. So... Oh. If I had to do it all over again, I would, because it would bring me back to her.
you're a smoothie. That's such a smoothie thing to say.
Yeah, but listen,
that's lovely.
If you're driven to like a greater purpose in your life or something, you know, something that makes you feel that sort of goodness. What if there is such thing as like reincarnation, and when we die we're just born as like right back to that same date when you were born? You have to do it all over again, but you have no idea.
Yeah, but you have no idea. Yeah, it would be exactly the same as well.
Well, you know how you ever get into some of like the whole quantum physics, well, like multiple branching out of, it's like they try
full
to
damage.
Yeah, you have like 50,000 like of you out there. I don't know.
Yeah. I was reading about this the other day, actually, because Leon, actually, the guy in the band, he is, for all intents and purposes, a physicist. He's just done a master's in physics, and he's planning on taking up a PhD at some point. And he's a really interesting guy to talk to. But I was reading up about this whole, this idea of time travel and these small, tiny wormholes that exist all around us in time, but we can't get through them because they're too small. And, you know, I think it was the Stephen Hawking's article, and he's talking about all these sort of alternate dimensions where time still exists, but, yeah, there's all these other strands and things going on. It's all a bit mind-blowing, really, isn't it?
Yeah. It's actually, to be honest with you, it's one of those topics that I, like, one of those things that I find fascinating but I hate at the same time.
Yeah, because you can just lose yourself in it.
Yeah, because I'll read it and I'll go, this is because there's a guy at work that collects all these modern science books or whatever that magazine is. I can't think of it.
New Scientist.
Yeah, one of those. I think he collects a couple of them, but he brings them into work and I'll start to read them, and I'm like, this is garbage. What is this? Doesn't make any sense. And then I'll put it down, and then I'll think about it all night long, and then I'll go back and read more of it.
It's yeah.
Like, why am I interested? I don't want to be interested in this, but I am. I feel like the only time that I ever see like that I feel like that I experience any kind of proof of quantum physics is on the internet, because it seems like I'll sit here and think, like I'll talk to someone and say, you know, think of anything obscure, and it's like, well, if I could, I would have gone and put a clip of it up on YouTube, and then I go and find it. It's like it's like that whole if there was time travel. If I could time travel, I would back in time, go on YouTube, make this clip, put it on there as someone else. I mean, not really, but you ever think, sometimes I think, well, maybe there's someone who thinks exactly like me on the other side of the world who's just doing all the same stuff I'm doing, except they're taking all the different paths.
Well, I mean, that's highly, highly probable, isn't it? And then you get into this whole probability thing about, you know, coincidences and things like this. And I've read a bit about this, having a twin, because, you know, there's this whole, like, connection thing about doing the same thing at the same time and not knowing it. And there's been a few things that have happened that have been a bit strange, but nothing that's truly convincing, you know.
Like what?
There's this one standout time where I hadn't spoke to my brother for a week and a half, and my old band was a hardcore band called Chief, and we had a gig in London, and we were coming down from Liverpool to London, and he was coming from where he lives, which is near London, to the gig. And when he turned up, we were wearing exactly the same Fred Perry t-shirt with yellow stripes on, and we were wearing exactly the same socks, which you could only buy from this really sort of cheap sock shop called Peacocks, and they had exactly the same pattern on. It was all a bit strange, you know. and there's been another couple of times where I've felt ill, or I've hurt myself, and my brothers rang me and said, "Are you okay?" like, you know, literally within seconds of me either throwing up or actually injuring myself, and that's a bit weird.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any connection. I think it's all just a massive coincidence, you know.
Are you guys identical looking?
We not identical looking, no. We are technically identical in the sense that we're from the same egg, but we don't definitely don't look exactly the same now. He's definitely a bit more hench than I am. And he has a few more tattoos and a bit of a bigger beard, but you know, we look fairly similar.
So you could look identical, or
It's possible we could look, you know, maybe 85 to 90% the same. Possibly.
Gotcha.
Maybe we should try that one day. Maybe that's a good idea.
Do you guys think alike, or?
Yeah, man, we're both into the same music, and both, you know, feel the same way about certain areas of politics and you know, things. No, it's nice actually. We've sort of learnt from the same bands and stuff. But then, you know, our parents are very liberal, and you know, we sort of found our own way a little bit. So, yeah, no, he's a great guy.
There's a guy that worked at my work, which I just got out of, by the way. I work at a Reclaim Lumber Mill called Pioneer Millworks. Going green.
Is this about trees?
Yeah, it is. Well, actually, we don't cut down any trees.
Good.
It's all recycled from old buildings.
Oh, cool.
The owner's like vegan. He's like really conscientious about the stuff, you know.
Oh, okay, cool. And that's in New York, is it? Well, New York.
It's a New York thing. Yeah, it's in New York State. It's in Farmington, New York, upstate New York. But you know, it actually caters to anywhere. Anyone is interested.
Oh wow.
There's the plug for the business I've been working at for 13 years, but I don't run it, so I don't know why I'm doing this.
Well, you know, it's nice. It's nice to be nice.
But there's a guy that worked there. Well, actually, his brother worked there for a little while too, and they were identical twins. And this guy had this weird, like, he had like a weird sixth sense for scratch off tickets. Like when I'm not even kidding. Like when he would get low on money, and he would just go across the street and scratch off a ticket and win like between 50 and 100 bucks.
Wow.
Like, he just knew when to do it and what to buy, and he always won. It was insane.
That's almost like, you know, if you want something, it's going to happen. That's what I say.
Maybe.
Maybe he's just really lucky.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Are you lucky? Have you tried any scratch-offs or anything?
No, the other evening, some guy wanted to buy an album for his girlfriend, but all he had on him was a scratch card that was worth £5, which was the cost of the album, and he'd won on the scratch card, so he gave us a scratch card instead.
What's the deal with the shark seagull?
So I don't know. We live in Brighton. We're from by the sea. There's a lot of seagulls, and I think it was Paul Parity and River Jumpers when we went to Europe. Our first proper tour was in Europe. You know, Europe is in mainland Europe, off this island. About a month after our first show, last year in November, and I don't know, he likes being on tour so much. I think he passively said something like, I wish 1,000 shark seagulls would come and take my passport so I didn't have to go home. And it kind of just stemmed from there, really. And we found a shark seagull on the internet, and it looked pretty cool, so yeah. So I chose that as my call sign.
I think it's excellent. I hate to get attacked by one of those, though.
Yeah, I think you should, you know, we should definitely tell people that they exist in Brighton. They're very rare, but, you know, I've seen them.
That'd be a good rumor to start.
Yeah, and if you look at it, it can only look upwards, so as long as you're below it, you're safe.
It seems like the lyrics on your album, they sound like affirmations, like, or kind of like reminders to yourself to kind of keep looking up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in terms of writing songs, certainly from my perspective, because me and Leon kind of wrote the lyrics. You know, some we did together, some we did independently, but kind of with an overall sense of not looking at things too pessimistically or complaining too much. You know,
yeah,
I think finding a positive point of view for things is a good place to be, you know. And in terms of my own writing, I come from another band into this band, so this is like my second band. And my other band is very sort of concerned with making statements of intent and political statements and making people aware of situations. So with this band, we're able to kind of maybe branch out a bit more into more sort of personal realms, but try and keep it to things that people can relate to, you know, and maybe not in a negative way. Try and keep positive, because you know, there's all sorts of stuff of people complaining too much, and you know, it's all a bit negative.
Now, was this your viewpoint on this band? Like this was the angle you were gonna go, or was like the angle of the whole band? Because I mean, obviously with Chief, you guys must have said, "Hey, we're gonna do something hardcore. Let's have like something worth screaming about," right?
Yeah, yeah, hit the nail on the head. Yeah, I mean, that's what happened in that band, and then this band was kind of I'd moved from Liverpool to Brighton because of work and because of a girl, and my band had just done Chief had just done this tour with this band called H2O in the UK, and it was a good tour, but then a few people left the band and it was a bit crap, and I decided as soon as I moved to Brighton that I'd just start something a bit fresh. So I always planned on sort of having that kind of positive, you know, political content or subject matter, but maybe in a way that it was able to be a bit more expressive and of sort of, and a bit more to do with emotions and feelings and stuff, you know, rather than just bare bones left wing politics, which is amazing, but like I wanted to do something a bit more sort of uplifting, you know. Yeah, and the whole band were just into it straight away, and Leon, the second guitarist, and the other guy who writes the songs, he kind of joined the band after a while and just put a whole new fresh spin on it with the extra guitar and the extra sort of the extra angle really on lyric writing and stuff. So but yeah, in terms of keeping everything positive and writing in that way, yeah, we're all kind of like in the same boat really, the whole band. And then we all sit in the practice room and write the songs together and stuff. So that works really well.
Is Chief the only, I mean, is that band Chief, is it done, or is it like on the side, or?
It's sort of on the side for now. Yeah, it's on the side for now. It's never done, you know, nothing's ever finished, but for now it's done, yeah. Both myself and the other guy who was in, the other remaining member of Chief, who was also the founding guy, he's in this band called Random Hand. I don't know if you know this band from the UK.
I don't think I've heard of Random Hand, but I think I've heard of Chief.
Yeah, I think yeah, maybe it'd be nice if you had, but yeah. So we kind of decided he was going to do that. I was going to do this. We live at opposite ends of the country, but you know, never say never, man. I'd love to be on stage hitting those tunes again, but right now, absolutely, completely enjoying and submersed in River Jumpers. It's absolutely fantastic, and I couldn't ask to have put together a nicer team as well. I mean, the whole band are absolutely fantastically funny and witty and, you know, smart and silly at the same time. It's fantastic. We have a great time, which cool. Is nice.
All right, we're getting near the end of the interview with Nick Davis of the River Jumpers, but before I do, let's play the title track from their album Chapters, which you can get for free on Bandcamp. Just look up River Jumpers on there. Go over there and grab it. This is Chapters from the River Jumpers from the album Chapters.
Pick me or chuck me out. This news is weighing me down. The room is full tonight, but I can't barely hear a sound. I'm struggling to find some sense in all this mess. It's not a question why, but how we rise up from this. Let's hit the streets tonight, tonight. I'm so sick of all the absences and blinking lights. We'll
like over there?
In terms of Brighton?
Yeah, in terms, well, what, okay, let's say you're going to go play some shows this weekend. What kind of place, do you guys do tours? Are there like...
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, because we've only just got past the being in a band for a year point. And so we've done, we did a European tour last year, which was pretty good, but it was kind of sort of booked it straight away without any, you know, all we had was the EP and, you know, we hadn't really promoted ourselves that much or anything like this, but it was really good fun and we played some quite cool shows. And then we've done quite a few little bits up and down the UK, and we did a tour in the summer with Fighting Fiction, which was really nice to go on tour with my brother as well, which is cool. And that was quite a success. And then we've just done another week in the UK, which is our second UK tour, with an acoustic act called Ducking Punches. And there's a guy playing acoustic guitar called Dan Allen, who's really good. And that was really good. And it's quite nice because now we have the album out and it's available for free. You know, people are getting hold of it and they're enjoying coming along and listening to the songs that they've heard, and people are singing along now. So it's kind of like we're trying to kind of get that whole snowball effect that bands dream about, you know. But it seems to be working quite well at the moment. We're just going to keep the momentum going. We've got quite a lot of touring in the pipeline, and you know, we've got plans. We want to come over to the US at some point, which would be cool. So,
what are the crowds like over there in Brighton?
Brighton's got a really nice little scene going. Actually, there's quite a few bands. In terms of our shows, yeah, the crowds have gone from being people that we know and all our friends to sort of being people that we haven't met before who've come along to check us out, which is nice. And there's a couple of bands that are doing really well at the moment. There's a band called Narwhals. I don't know if you've heard of this band. They're sort of exploding at the moment and doing really well in the UK, and kind of got the backing of quite a bigger, with all the agency group, a big booking agent, which is cool. And there's stuff going on, and we seem to be drawing bigger crowds and doing a bit better. And Paul, our bass player, has been putting on a few shows that we've been playing, and that's been a whole load of fun, just sort of putting on shows to pay the bands and stuff, which is cool. So yeah, it's a nice scene, and there's some nice venues, some really nice people, some great bands. Yeah,
so what do you mean, can you fill up clubs over there? Do people like really get into it? Because it seems like, I mean, over here in Rochester, I feel like everyone's just in their house playing their Xbox.
I wouldn't say we're not filling clubs, man. We're filling small rooms, which is pretty cool. And in this age with people on Facebook and, you know, stuff, it's, and downloading music, I mean, it is incredibly distracting, isn't it? And I'm sure that you know, if all that wasn't around, then maybe more people would be at shows. But you know, unless you go into the houses and drag them out, there's only so much promotion you can do, isn't there?
So, just gonna have to play in their yard, their lawn.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, start playing in the houses, or maybe we'll have to start playing in front of a camera and just broadcasting it, you know. that's the next step.
Yeah, hey, as a matter of fact, what is that? The band that's on the same episode, Therapy, they did something a couple years back called Web Gig. And what they did was they had people vote on their favorite therapy. I mean, these guys have been around for 23 years, so, you know, they had a lot to choose from, but they had people vote on what songs they wanted to hear them play. And the ones that got the most vote, they actually went online and they recorded the whole thing. Like,
oh, wow.
Just themselves playing in a room, and then they gave it out for a download.
That's pretty cool. That's like a interactive show or something.
Yeah, it's like
that's the future. Yeah, that's the future of punk right there.
Exactly. There's so much you can do. I mean, the most ideal thing is obviously to play shows or get on a good tour, and that's the best way to really promote yourself. I hear bands saying like that is the absolute best way to sell records, is to actually go on a tour and be out there playing every night for all these. I mean, even Facebook and all these things where you can give stuff away, but you can't really sell it as well.
No, and you can't, you know, you certainly can't sell an atmosphere or share a scene through Facebook. I mean, you can unite a scene and and inform people about what's going on, but you can't, you know, you can't get a sense of what a punk show is unless you're there, can you, man? You know that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's but yeah, we do okay. I mean, we've got quite a lot of touring coming up, which is cool, and you know, some gigs will probably be packed and some gigs won't be, and we'll still play as if they were and have a great time. So it's all...
Well, are you still there? Are you still there?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, did it cut out again there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because I got a call. yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to avoid that, so if I get another call, it's probably going to cut out again.
All right, well, that's all right. We've talked for about 40 minutes here.
Oh, well, I was enjoying it.
My girlfriend just got home, and I should go make some dinner.
Okay, man. Well, hey, I mean, I'm up for talking to you another time if you want more stuff, so let me know.
Definitely. Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, I we'll definitely have you on the show again because this is what I want to do. I want to talk to everyone again. I mean, I had built up something through Punk Radio Cast, and then as soon as I wasn't able to do things with Punk Radio Cast, it seems like all of these, the PR people for the bands, they don't want to give me the time of day now.
Yeah, we don't need all those guys.
But what you can do, if you want, it always surprises me because I see, it's like, I give, or, you know, we have a forum here so we can talk about things, and if anyone wants to know anything about you, they can listen to, let's say, an interview.
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody, like, I do the interviews, and then it's like, the thing doesn't even exist. But I'll send you a link if you want to share it. It's completely up to you.
Of course, man. Yeah, well, share it, and I'll send you the EP, and I'll send you a whole list of bands and stuff, and yeah, no problem, man.
Sounds great.
I really enjoyed it, man. It's been a nice talk.
Yeah, I mean, I want to talk to more. Here's who I want to talk to. I want to talk to people who can just be people, and I swear to you, there's so many bands over here. I don't know if it's just over here or if it's there, but it seems like more American bands I talk to, they have to be really mysterious and secret about everything, so it's like impossible to have a conversation with them. It's like,
I think that's a universal epidemic, man. I think it's called arrogance and pretentiousness.
Yeah, it's like, who cares? I mean, I don't care what anyone thinks about me. Like, I'm just gonna talk.
Yeah, no, man. I'm up for talking to you again. There, yeah. I'm sure Leo and the other boys would be up for that as well. So maybe we'll do a group one next time. That'd be great.
All right, cool. Well, that does it for Black Art Radio Retribution UK edition. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Nick Davis of the River Jumpers and also my conversation with Andy Carnes of Therapy. Be sure to check out Therapy on therapy?co.uk and to check out the River Jumpers on Bandcamp. Just go on Bandcamp, look up the River Jumpers or riverjumpers.bandcamp.com. This is the last song we're going to play from the River Jumpers. This one's called A Slower Speed from their album Chapters. Go out and get it. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.
As we reach for the wealthiest seed, do we really know better? Slow the pot at a much slower speed.